All right, this morning, I want to just talk to you from God's Word for a minute, trusting that this is going to speak to you. We're going to talk about getting peace, finding peace in the midst of your storm, because all of us go through storms in our life. And it's interesting what our Lord said in John 14 in verse 27. I think one of the most profound passages, and we just need to come back to this again and again to be reminded of it, of what God has promised us, and then to kind of check ourselves out and see if we are walking and living biblically, or if we have indeed started to stray a bit. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful." I don't know if there is anything that we need any more in our life than we need peace of mind, to just have peace of mind. The crazy thing is, that's a universal need, and people do some of the most destructive things trying to find it. They will take a sniff, if you will, mind-destroying drugs trying to get peace. They change spouses, leave this spouse, and, you know, kind of a roll of their dice on somebody else that they know absolutely nothing about, and they think, this one's going to give me peace. And you just want to say, how many stupid pills did you swallow? You don't know him or her. They don't know you. And if you're not making it with this one, what makes you think you're going to make it with that one? You know, just all that kind of stuff. People change jobs, go to exotic places, spending money they don't have, trying to find peace. And isn't it real that ads abound on TV and in magazines? You just see it all over the place. Ads for sleeping aids and other drugs. And the reason is clear. I mean, why is that attractive to us? Because every one of us at some time or another wrestle with stress. We wrestle with anxiety. We become fearful and we toss and turn at night. We're unable to go to sleep because of what's going on between our ears. There's an incredible amount of tension. And I think it's fairly universal what causes us to just get rattled inside of ourselves. And I give you three things that I think are absolutely universal, and you just kind of check it out with me. We get rattled inside of ourselves. Our peace gets stolen, number one, because of uncontrollable circumstances. And what I mean by that is so much of my daily life and your daily life is not under our control. Do you agree with that? I mean, it isn't. You think about it. Your daily schedule. You know, a schedule is just an idea. It might or might not happen. And you have to be willing to kind of let that thing go. You know, it maybe this will work, but a lot of times it doesn't. The driver in front of you. And you're like, where did you learn to drive? You got a driver's license. You never took a test, did you? Because you know what I'm saying? Am I the only one that does that? Anyway, you know, the driver in front of you. And then, you know, you've got those issues. People, couples who are wanting, they're wanting a family. And they can't have one. Somebody, a single who wants to marry. And every hopeful thing winds up dying. Why? Because uncontrollable circumstances are part of our life. And then there's unchangeable habits of other people, number two. Unchangeable habits of others. Lord, give us strength. Did you think that, one of the biggest peace killers in our life are people in our lives who won't listen to us when we tell them, you're doing it wrong. And we know it's wrong. That's why God put us in their life, right? We're in their life to help them, but they don't understand that. And the thing is, the longer we stay at it with them, the more they resist us, and then eventually they start resenting us, right? And that can happen in our own home. And we think we're God's gift to them to help them be better, but they just don't understand that. Unchangeable habits of others, uncontrollable circumstances. And then number three, unexplainable problems. You know, something that I think is obvious is life isn't fair. Have you found that out? Amen. Life's not fair. It isn't. Life isn't fair. And the reality is not every life is going to end happily. And you know, the thing is, when I don't understand why, when I don't understand why something is happening in my life, when I don't understand why something is happening in my child's life, or in my parents' life, or in a friend that I care a whole lot about, my go-to response is frustration because I don't understand it. All right, but here's the thing that I want you to see, that it's an overall truth of everything. Look in your LifePoint outline. Here's the insight. God made peace of mind a fundamental need of human existence. In other words, God created me and he created you. We have a fundamental need to have peace in our life. I have to have peace in my life. You have to have peace in your life. This is non-optional. You have to have it. If you don't, you will not survive. It is interesting, one of the names of God that he gives himself in Holy Scripture is Jehovah Shalom, all right? And the Hebrew for shalom, of course, means peace. And so God is saying, my name is Jehovah Shalom, which literally is, I am the God of peace. Now to me, that is absolutely comforting. The good news is that God says, his will for me is that I will live a life of peace. He said, my name as your father, your creator, is the God of peace. And what I'm telling you is I have created you with a fundamental need for peace. Jesus came back during his personal ministry in John chapter 20. He said three different times, peace be with you. I'm glad God has said to me, peace be with you. That's his word to me. Peace be with you in this crazy, crazy world. Our text in the Living Bible puts it this way. Now just listen, this, I love this. Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said. Our Lord said that the gift, that peace is a gift. Peace is a gift. So I want you to, if you've got your LifePoint outline out, look at this truth. Peace of mind is not personally generated. It is received. And it has nothing to do with problem-free living. I would like for life to be problem-free. Wouldn't that be great? At least you think it would be. And God says, you cannot personally generate peace. Now, when you think about that, you cannot do that. In this world, you cannot personally generate peace. Peace is something I receive. It is a gift from God. He says, I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the God of peace. And the peace that you get from me is a gift. It cannot be generated on its own. You cannot make yourself at peace. It is something that I give to you, which makes sense to us because Jesus said during his ministry, he said, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. He said, you will have trouble. You will have problems. But then he said, but be of good cheer. I have, this is where you finish the sentence, overcome the world. I have overcome the world, right? That's what he said. And so here's the question. If peace is God's gift to me and you, then how do I find peace in a troubled life? Let me give you two or three things. Number one, I have to embrace what I cannot change. If I want peace in my life, I have to embrace what I cannot change. I don't know how many times during the years that God has given me to you and you to me that I have told you that the pathway to peace with God is to hug your pain. As long as you resent your pain, you are fighting God. You hug your pain. That's what God is saying. Here's the truth in your outline. It is futile to worry or resent what you cannot change. It is what? This is where you answer me. It is what? Futile. It is futile to worry and resent what you cannot change. Peace comes from accepting the unchangeable. You know, the Old Testament, I'll give you 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15 following. It's a story I think that you know. King David's infant son was dying. And David, the Bible says, would not eat. This went on for several days. He would not eat. He would not bathe. He laid on the floor before the Lord. I don't know if it was at the tabernacle or what, but he laid on the floor. He was laid out before God for days, day and night. He would not sleep. He would not rest. He would not eat. He would not bathe. He would not perform the duties of the king. He was laid out before God, and he was crying out to God for the life of his child. Any of us who have had a child in that situation totally understand what he went through and what he feels. And he was pleading for the life of the baby. When the baby died, the servants were afraid to tell him. They thought, my word, if he would not eat, he would not sleep, he would not even do the duties of kingship, but he has been laying on the floor and he's been crying out to God, what in the world will he do to himself when he finds out the baby has died? What they didn't know is that David was watching them. He was watching them whisper, the scripture says, and he asked them, he said, is the baby dead? And they were very fearful, the scripture says, but they told him, yes, the baby has died. And then they said, David did one of the strangest things. When he learned that the child was dead, the Bible says David got up off of the ground. He went and he took a bath, and he put on clean clothes. And then the scripture says he went to the house of God. And he stayed there for a while. And when he came into the house, into the kingship, into the castle, he asked for food. It was set before him. He ate. And then he got up and he went back to the duties of the king to serve the people. And they said, Lord, we don't understand what you're doing. This doesn't make sense to us. While the baby was alive, you were distressed and you were laid out before the Lord. When the baby dies, you get up, you get dressed, you go about life like everything is just fine. We don't understand. What is that? And this is what David said. He said, the child has gone to heaven. There's nothing I can do about that. God has ruled. He said, one day I cannot bring the baby back to me, but one day I will join him. I will see him again. And basically what he said is, but for now, there's nothing for me to do but to serve the God who made me and the God who's drawn that baby home to himself. And my work is to serve my people and to seek to make life better for Israel, because that is what I have been called by God to do. And that's what he did. And then you get in the New Testament, you get to the book of Philippians. Paul is in a Roman prison. He is awaiting death. And he writes one of the most encouraging books of all the Bible. And it's in the New Testament book of Philippians. Listen to chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13. Paul says, I have learned, now he's facing death, he's facing the chopping block. I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. I know how to live when I am poor and when I have plenty. And then I underline this, I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Now, here's what I see from this. This is what I want to give to you. Look in your outline. This is Paul's secret. Peace is impossible as long as I demand that God explain what in the world is going on in my life. If I demand God explain himself, I will never have peace. If you've got something that doesn't make sense, You will never have peace until you stop demanding an answer. Let me enlarge that. Let me give you three reasons why. Three reasons why you ought to do that. Number one, because God is Lord and he doesn't owe me or you an explanation. Now, I realize that can stir your flesh, but just kind of get used to that in walking with God. Okay? And I want to tell you something. In a crazy, mixed up world, I am glad there is somebody who cannot be overruled. Amen. And that he is good, he is just, he is fair, he is loving. And my Father understands things about me I don't know about myself. He is my creator, and I am his creation. And he understands why he made me. The second reason I need to stop asking is because I probably wouldn't understand his reasoning anyway. You ever been around somebody smarter than you? Huh? You're just better off not to ask him a lot of deep stuff because you just like, you know, you just want to kind of get over in the corner and suck your thumb. You're like, God, I don't even know what that means. You know, they're just like ahead of you. Isaiah 55 in verse 8 says, his ways are not our ways. God's ways don't make sense to me. I remember King Hezekiah in the Old Testament was told by God, set your house in order because you're going to die. The king just freaked out. He started crying out before the Lord. He said, God, give me life. I don't want to die. I'm too young to die, Lord. I cannot handle this. And so God sent word back to him through the prophet and said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. And that was the worst possible thing that could happen for his own people. During the next 15 years, King Hezekiah sired the wickedest king that ever sat on the throne of Israel, Manasseh. He killed more people. He was the most ungodly king that ever lived and ruled in the land of Israel. And Manasseh would have never been if Hezekiah had said, God, I'm yours. What does that mean? It means when we're unwilling to accept the will of God for our life, we need to be very careful because we have no idea what God is saving us from. Huh? And number three, peace doesn't come from explanations. It comes from knowing that God is working his plan. And that's what happened in the life of Job. You know, Job was a man, the Bible says, who loved God. He was blessed of God, and yet in a single day, he lost everything that he had, including all of his kids. And the greatest agitation of Job's life was that God would not explain himself. He would not explain why that happened. Now, what we learned, and we don't know that Job ever learned that. I don't know if God ever explained that to him. But what we know, because we're reading about it, is we learned that hell had accused Job of loving God for what he got out of it. He said, all you are is a rice Christian. You know, you serve God because of what you get out of it. You serve God because he's good to you. You serve God because he supplies all your need. But all God has to do is take stuff away from you and you'll curse him to his face. Now, Job had not heard that, but that's what Satan accused God of. He said, God, you're not worthy to be worshipped. The only reason people worship you is because you're good to them. But if you're not good to people, they will drop you like a hot potato. And so God's honor was at stake. And do you understand that's God's honor today? The only reason we serve him is for what we get out of it. But if we have to go through a hard time, will we turn our back on him because he doesn't explain himself? And so for 37 chapters, God doesn't explain himself. 37 chapters of silence. 37 chapters where God doesn't say a word. And here's the truth in your outline. The silence of God is the greatest crisis of faith in our lives. When he doesn't say anything. And here's the insight. The silence of heaven means you're in a test. When God does not explain himself. You know, one of the things I've noticed about going through school, I've been through a lot of schooling. And there is a universal thing that happens during the test. Teachers don't talk. I mean, you can't get anything out of them. I don't understand this question. The teacher just kind of looks at you like, part of the test. You know, so you don't say anything. Well, here's what I want you to understand. If God will not answer my prayer for why my life is the way it is, that means I'm in a test. You see, if God's not talking to me and I'm going through a challenge, that means I'm in a test. How many of you ever heard of the Serenity Prayer? You heard of that? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, here's what we usually know. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? Okay, did you know that's only the first part of three sections? I didn't know that. So let me just kind of bring you up to speed with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, here comes the power. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking, as our Lord did, this sinful world as it is, not as I want it to be. Trusting that you, Lord, will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Isn't that good? That's the Serenity Prayer. And what God is saying is, it is through acceptance and trust and surrender that peace comes. It doesn't mean that I become a doormat. It is trusting the character of God with my life. When I am faced with a situation that I don't like, when you're faced with a situation you don't like, what is God saying to us? What God is saying is, you do what you can to change it, and then you accept what you cannot change. That's where peace comes. If it is a health issue, you go to the best doctor you can find and you work on it. But when you hit a wall and there is nothing else that you can do, you accept what you cannot change. Why? Because God's in control, right? God's in control. If I've got a problem with a child or a spouse or a friend, you try to work with them. You do the best that you can. You get the best advice you can. But when you hit the wall, there is nothing more you can do. You accept what cannot be changed. That's how peace comes in the life of a child of God. And so, number one, I embrace what I cannot change. Number two, I trust the watch care of God. I trust that He is watching over me. And two Bible passages I want to give you. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust you. That's where peace comes, when I trust Him. It doesn't come from me getting an explanation. I don't get peace from knowing why. I get peace from trusting. Remember, because if God explains Himself, I probably wouldn't understand it anyway. And I probably wouldn't even agree with the way He's doing it. His ways are not my ways. But just like in the story of King Hezekiah, God knows what He's doing. And there's always a reason. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. What does that mean? It means stop trying to figure out what you cannot figure. We will never live on this earth a trouble-free life. There will always be something. See, I've got the gift of encouragement. Aren't you glad you came today? Thank you, Pastor. This is wonderful. Here's the insight. The word for a series of problems is life. Right? I wish I had said that. I didn't. I got that from somebody. So, all right. And then the third thing is this. Surrender to God's control. All right, I'm gonna have to read something to you, okay? Because I just got this morning, and so I don't have this all down in my heart. Maybe by the third service I'll have it down where I can give it without looking at it. But I'll just listen, all right? Most people respond to the uncontrollable, unexplainable, and unchangeable situations of our life one of two ways. Number one, we just simply try harder. We try harder. And what that means is, when my life is uncontrollable, I become more controlling. Some of you probably live with a controller. The more your life gets out of your control, the more controlling and compulsive you become. You make your family and your friends miserable. The more controlling and compulsive you are, the more unhappy you're going to be. Why? Because you cannot control life. It is uncontrollable. People are uncontrollable. You cannot control your husband. You cannot control your wife. You cannot control your parents. You cannot control your kids as they get older in everything. You can't do it. But the less you surrender to God, the more controlling you're going to become. And you're going to make everybody miserable. And then number two, you're either going to try harder or you're going to give up. And these are the people who give in to despair. They live life like they're a victim. And their life becomes one of basic a pity party and despair rules. And what I'm saying is, maybe this morning you're in an uncontrollable situation, you're married to an unchangeable person, and you're swallowed in inexplicable problems, and you're frustrated, you're angry with heaven, and you're feeling abandoned by God. All right, now hold that thought, because if that's where you are, you're just frustrated. God, you won't answer me. I don't understand this. Why are you doing that? Why are you experiencing that? Here's the reason why. Because if your life is filled with turmoil and anxiety and tension, now listen, if your life is filled with turmoil, anxiety, and tension, it is that way because you, sir, madam, are fighting God. You're fighting Him. That's why you're anxious. That's why you're not at peace. That's why you're filled with turmoil. Why? Because you think you know how life should be, especially your life. And this morning, every day, you've got to decide who's going to be in control of my life. Is it going to be me, or am I going to let the Father do it? Because the more I try to take control of my life, the more miserable I'm going to become, and the more out of control my life is going to become, because I can't control it. Everybody remember the name Muhammad Ali? I know you do. Just wanted to ask. You remember, what was his greatest phrase? I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest, you know. I thought, God. So, but he always said that. What I didn't realize in doing some reading about him, you remember several years ago that he lit the torch for the Olympics. Remember that? Okay. And he almost couldn't light it because he was shaking so bad from Parkinson's. What I read was Muhammad Ali, in an interview with the reporters and everything, made this statement. He said, for years, I said, I'm the greatest. And he said, I have come to realize that God gave me Parkinson's so that I could realize He's the greatest and not me. Now that's insightful. And it changed him around. Here's the truth in your outline. You can't have the peace of God until you're at peace with God. So you've got to ask yourself, what am I angry with God about? Is it because a marriage died or never happened? Because of what we prayed wouldn't happen and it did? Because a loved one died before their time? So here's the insight. There's no event of your life God couldn't have prevented if He had chosen to do so. You see, I have to understand that. And God puts limitations on my life to force me to depend on him. I'm forced to depend on him, to learn that he is trustworthy. And sometimes God puts you and me totally out of commission. And why does he do that? Because the God of heaven determined I needed to learn who's really in control. And so he puts me where I can't do anything, so that I realize it's always been him. When the Apostle Paul was facing the chopping block of Rome, he said in Philippians 4 and 6, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank him for his answers. But trust in his silence. If you do, you will experience God's wonderful peace. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. This morning, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer. And I want to lead you in that prayer, and you can, you know, say that in your own heart and in your own mind if that's where you are. But this is just a message this morning to help you on your journey and to help me so that we can live life the way God wants us to live it. So let me just pray a prayer, and you can say this along with me inside your heart. Father, I know there have been those times when I have resented the problems of my life. You know better than I how I fought you. And how I struggled with those things that I couldn't change. I can't number the times I've asked you to help me understand, and it's never come. And today, Father, by the power of your word, I understand my place is to stop fighting. To stop fighting you about things I don't understand. And Father, I ask you to forgive me. I want to walk the path of personal peace. Father, help me. God, help me to change what I can. But help me accept what I can't change. Help me trust you with the things that don't make sense. Father, you're good even when I don't understand. And I don't want to be found fighting you. I don't want to fight you. So give me strength and wisdom. And Father, in my heart, I am at peace with you today. I surrender to you. Your way with me is the best way. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.